Okay, we're nearing the end. The end is in sight, at least. We're continuing our shiur in the letters of the Aleph Beis. Baruch Hashem, we've come a very long way. And we've arrived at the letter Ayin. For those of you who are new, do not be afraid, every shiur is self-contained. But what we'll try to do is to understand the letter Ayin in a way which is helpful in our quest to be better servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as it always happens, we'll be trying to tie it into what's going on in the cycle of the calendar. That at this particular time, our thoughts are on the concept of tshuva and trying to improve ourselves in general, but specifically in a way which is unique to the letter Ayin, as I'll try to explain. So we'll begin with a question and we'll come back to it at the end, hopefully. And that is that the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Taf Kuf Pei Hei, Se'if Beis, suggests that when we blow the shofar, so the Rama writes in Taf Kuf Pei Hei, in the Shulchan Aruch, V'tov litkoa b'tzad yamin, im efshar litkoa b'kach. The Rama writes that when we're blowing shofar, whether it's during the days of Elul or on Rosh Hashanah, or even at the end of Yom Kippur, when we blow that final Tekiyah Gedola, it's tov, it's proper, it's good to blow the shofar b'tzad yamin, on the right side of one's mouth. Im efshar litkoa b'kach, if it's possible, if it's not too troublesome, if it's not too difficult to blow the shofar on the right side, it is preferable to do so. Why is that? So, in Niglos HaTorah, in the revealed aspect of studying Torah, we have at least three reasons for that. And they are as follows. The Mishnah Berurah, in source number 2, in Os Zion, writes that the reason we're blowing on the Tzad Yamin, Shalpiv, on the right side of the mouth, Mishum Dechsiv, because the Pasuk says, V'hasatan omer al yamino l'satno. Because the Satan stands on the right side, and since in many places in the literature of Chazal, the blowing of the shofar is associated with some sort of irvuv HaSatan or bilbul HaSatan, we're attempting to confuse the Satan who's nervous about the shofar gadol, which will blow at the time of Mashiach, which, as we spoke last week, summons the end of the Satan's reign. So therefore, we blow specifically on the right side, which is the side where the Satan is omid al yamino l'satno. And even though this is a revealed answer, it's based on a pasuk in Tanakh, afal pikin, it still rings esoteric, but that's not really our topic for this evening. We're not going to talk about that too much. A second reason is brought down in the Shaar HaTzion. The Shaar HaTzion is also part of the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah has three parts, as is well known. There is the Mishnah Berurah itself, which is the Psak Halacha. There's the Shaar HaTzion on the bottom, which is the footnotes. And then there is the Bir Halacha, which is for more scholarly study. So in the Shaar HaTzion, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the source for this idea that we blow on the right side because of the Pasuk V'hasatan Omid Al Yamino L'Sotno, from the Mem Aleph, who's the Mem Aleph, the Magen Avram. And then he writes, in source number 3, Magen Avram, Kasav Odtam, Mishum de Bismol Hatfilin Maginin, Vesayim Vimkain Iter Yad Yeshitko Biyamin, Didei Velo Hatki Bifnim, I did not put this inside in the Mishnah Brura, the Efshar de Latam Rishon Lo Shayachse. I was not Matik. I did not put this in the Mishnah Brura, this reason that because we already, the Baal Tukeya already wears, not on Rosh Hashanah, but he already wears tefillin on his left side, so therefore he has the zchus of the tefillin on the left side, so therefore he wants to strengthen the right side, which doesn't have the tefillin, so he blows the shofar on the right side. So he says, I didn't put that inside the Mishnah Berurah, because it's highly possible that not everybody agrees to that, and that the inyan of the tefillin protecting against the left side, the tefillin protecting against the left side is actually irrespective of whether I'm wearing the tefillin on the left hand or the right hand. That's why the Shaar HaTzion says it doesn't really matter if I'm an itter yad, if I'm a lefty, or already a lefty wears tefillin on the right hand. So I mean, they should blow shofar on the left side. So the Magen Avraham suggests that they should. But the Mishnah Berurah says, Lav Dafka, the whole thing's a big mess. So I didn't even quote that reason. Again, not going to deal with that. But that's the second reason why we blow shofar on the right side, because there's already protection on the left from the tefillin of the Baal Tokeah. He's not wearing it at the time. On the right side, he's blowing the shofar to add protection to the right side. Okay. And then finally, the third reason in the revealed aspect of studying the Torah is in the Bir Halacha in source number 4, where, again, the Chafetz Chaim, the Mishneh Berurah, highlights for us an additional reason why we blow the shofar on the right side. Shamati b'shem hagon morino harav meir simcha ha-kohen. I heard in the name of the Meshech Chachma, of Meir Simcha ha-kohen of Dvinsk, tam nachon, a good reason why we blow the shofar on the right side. Ki b'shas Rosh Hashanah daf lamed daled, on daf lamed daled of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, yolfila l'tkios shofar mechatzotros ha-melchama. We learn out the blowing of shofar from the chatzotros that were blown, the trumpets that were blown as Am Yisrael were going into battle. They would blow the they would blow these horns in order to scare the enemies, in order to bolster the strength of the soldiers. Ubikra, and the pasuk says in Shoftim, in the seventh parak of Shoftim, by the Melchama of Gidon, vayachziku biad smolam belapidim, they were holding torches in their left hands. And it's not a surprise, ubiyad yaminam ha-shofros litko, and on the right hand they were holding the shofars to blow. So again, we have three different sources, two from Psukim, one from seemingly a little bit of a mystical idea, but still, nonetheless, it's found in the classic poskim. These three different reasons why we blow shofar on the right side. Either it's because of the pasuk of v'hasatan omid al yamino l'sno, or because of the pasuk of ubiyad yaminam ha-shofros litkoa, or because of this strange reason of the left hand is already protected by the tefillin, so the right hand gets the shofar, as we saw in the Shaar HaTzion from the Magen Avraham. Okay, so those are three reasons in the poskim, and I want to come back to that at the end, Mirtz Hashem, after we've gone on a bit of a journey, the letter Ayin, to come back to try to understand this in a new way, which I think will be very meaningful for our preparation for Rosh Hashanah. So our approach, oftentimes, in trying to understand the letters of the Aleph Beis, is to try to find a place in the Torah where the letter actually appears as a word. Because each of the letters of the Aleph Beis, as we know, as opposed to A or E, I skipped B and C because those actually are words, even though C is different C, but the letters of Aleph Beis are all words. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dal, these all mean something. And it's, so far we've been successful every single time, to find a place in the Torah where this word actually appears, this letter actually appears as a word. And so, it's not so difficult to imagine that we'll find the word Ayin in the Torah, we'll find the word Ayin, the Shorash Ayin in many places. But I want to go back to one of the early sources to try to show you that the word Ayin actually means something in addition to the word I. You know, the eyes. Take a look in source number 5. And this is where we start to, Mirtz Hashem, move in the direction of something rather interesting. So the Torah tells us that Yehuda has a few children, and they're married to a woman named Tamar, and something goes wrong in the marriage, and both of the previous suitors, his two previous sons who are married to Tamar, die. And she's expecting to be able to marry the third son of Yehuda. And the Torah tells us, picks up in source number 5, Vatasar bigdei almanusa me'aleha. She took her widow's clothes off of her. Vatichas b'tza'if, vatis alaf v'teshev v'pesach inayim. She covered herself in some sort of scarf and sat at the Pesach Einayim. Talk about what that means. Asher al derech Timnasa, which was on the road to Timna. Ki ra'asa ki gadol Shela, because she saw that this third son, Shela, had already grown up, v'hilo natna l'isha, and he was not being given over to Tamar as a husband. So Tamar takes matters into her own hands and goes to sit at the Pesach Einayim. What's the Pesach Hinayim? So all the Mefarshim really say this, but it's most clear in the Sfarno. The Sfarno writes something absolutely fascinating. The Sfarno writes, "Bepesach inayim, bahaschalas shtei mesilos, ki a mesila tikra ayin, kimo al ha'ayin b'derech shor." Says the Sfarno, the word ayin in Hebrew means a split in the road. She sat herself at this split in the road that anybody who was traveling down this highway would have to come to this split before deciding to go off in this direction or off in this direction, towards Timna or towards a different town. So we see from here, and I think it's not so difficult to understand how and why the letter ayin should mean a split in the road, because if one were to look at the top of the page and look at the character of the letter ayin, it looks very much like a Robert Frost poem. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and we're going to take the road less traveled by. The ayin is a fork in the road. The ayin is standing at this crossroads where a person is forced into making a decision. And if we understand locally this story of Tamar, it's so beautiful that she chooses this place, because what she's actually doing is she's putting herself on a deeper level. She's putting herself at this crossroads geographically, but she's also putting herself at a crossroads historically, whereby she is saying, I know that if I do not father a child and do not have these children, Mashiach is on the line, right? Ultimately, she gives birth to the forebears of David HaMelech, who is the forebearer of Mashiach. And Tamar, therefore, takes matters into her own hands and says, I'm going to risk my life, knowing full well what was going to happen after she became pregnant, and Yehuda was going to wonder how that happened. She sat at the crossroads as if to say, now is the time when I have to make a crucial decision in my life. On the level of service of Hashem, this avoda of the letter ayin is an ever-present challenge to us. Again and again, especially these weeks, in the month of Elul, when we're preparing for Rosh Hashanah. So last week we had in the parsha, source number 7, Re'eh Anochi Nosein Lefnechem Hayom Bracha Uklala. A few weeks ago, excuse me, in the parsha. Re'eh Anochi Nosein Lefnechem Hayom Bracha Uklala. I give you the choice of Bracha Uklala. Of course, last week in Parshas Kisavo, they had the Brachos and the Klalos as well. And again, the Sforno says, Re'eh Anochi Nosein Lefnechem Hayom Bracha Uklala. It's really a choice of bracha or klala. When a person is standing at the crossroads, there's only two directions to go. You can go this way, or you can go this way. You can go to the right, you can go to the left. It says the Sfarno, Habito re'e, look carefully and see. Shelo ye in yanecha al ofen benoni. It would be impossible. There is no choice for a Jew or a Jewess to choose the middle path. Because when a person is put at the Parshas Drachim, when a person is put at that crossroads, they have to choose between bracha and klala. Ha'ofen ha'benoni is not a viable option. Kimoshua minag barov. Ki amna manochi nosin lefneichem hayom bracha uklala hem shnei ha'kitzvaos, ki ha'brachi ha'tzlacha yoser min ha'masvik. So you have two choices, bracha and klala, two extremes. Shnei kitzvos. One extreme, which is bracha, which is the ultimate hatzlacha in this world. Vaklola, which is mara machseres. It's the difficult, bitter, lacking path, which leaves a person empty-handed. And again, in Parshas Netzavim, Re'ei nasati lefneichem hayom esachayim esatov esamavis v'esara. Over and over again, Hashem is telling us in these parshios, leading up to Rosh Hashanah, Parshas Kisavu, the brachos and the klalos. Parshas Re'eh, the brachos and the klalos. Parshas Netzavim, a choice between life and death. Hashem is ever so gently nudging us and saying, you have to make a decision in your life. famous teaching from the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, which somehow didn't make it into the sheets, because I always like to try to keep the two sheets and just didn't have room. So the Toldos Yaakov Yosef has a famous teaching where he says that the books of the Rishayim and the Tzadikim, which are open on Rosh Hashanah, are not a judgment on the past. It's a beautiful idea. It's not that the books of the Tzadikim and the Rishayim that are open are two books, and Hashem kind of looks and says, okay, let me look at this person's track record, and if they have a good track record, I'll put them in the book of the Tzadikim. If they have a bad track record, I'll put them in the book of the Rishayim. The Toldos Yaakov Yosef Mipolonoya, who was one of the great students of the Baal Shem Tov, taught that the books of the Tzadikim and the Rishayim are open before every single person. And Hashem says, choose which path you want. You put yourself in whichever book you want. You have to decide. You're at the Parshas Drachim. We're standing on Rosh Hashanah on Yom Kippur, doing the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and Hashem says, it's your choice. You want to be in the book of the Rishayim? Put yourself in the book of the Rishayim. You want to be in the book of the Tzadikim? Be in the book of the Tzadikim. I'm not going to decide for you. And so, throughout Elul, and while meditating on the letter Ayin, we come over and over again, face to face with this message, that Hashem is somehow whispering into our ears, much as Eliyahu HaNavi screamed into the ears of the Jewish people. Every day that we hear the shofar at the beginning of our day after davening finishes, we hear in the sound of the shofar the words, the eternal words of Eliyahu HaNavi. Vayigash Eliyahu el kol ha'am vayomer ad masay atem poschim al shtei ha'si'ifim. How long are you going to be jumping back and forth between two different worlds? Im Hashem Elokim, if Hashem is your God, and go after him. V'im ha'bal, and if your God is Baal, Peor, so then go after Baal Peor. And you have to make a decision. You have to put yourself in either the book of the Tzadikim or the book of the Rishayim. And it's your choice. And yet so many times in our lives we feel ourselves jumping back and forth. A little bit good, a little bit bad, a little bit more bad, a little bit more good. Constantly running back and forth between the Beis Medrash and the streets, constantly running back and forth between the Beis HaKnesses and the social hall, where we find ourselves in two different worlds. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking us, Ad Masai Atem Poschim Hashnei Si'ifim. Of course, this is reminiscent of the final moments of Yom Kippur, when everyone's screaming, as they did, the Jewish people, in answering the call of Eliyahu HaNavi, who asked them, whose side are you on? Mila Hashem Eli. And of course, all the Jewish people screamed out to Eliyahu HaNavi, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim, which is what we all do on Yom Kippur in those last closing moments as Ne'ilah is ending and as the gates are being closed. We're screaming out, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim, I choose to go on the path less traveled. And with this, I think we can understand the really profound Medrash, which always bothered me until this past Shabbos. Shkach HaPratis, as I was starting to ruminate on the letter Ayin and thinking about what aspect of the letter Ayin we should speak about. So, over Shabbos, I was doing a little bit of learning, and a Medrash which always bothered me suddenly became clear. I always had a question on this Medrash, if you'd like to read along with me in source number 11. It's the Yalkut Shimoni in Mishle, where the Medrash tells the Mashal as follows. Mashal Adam Shayim Ahalech B'ishon Laila, person who was walking in the thick of night, V'afelu Misyar Min Akotzim Min Habarkanim, this person was walking in the forest in the thick of night and he was afraid of all of the thorns and all of the things that he might bump into, U'min HaPchasim Min HaChayara U'min HaListim, from the dangerous animals, from the thieves. He was afraid to bump into things, inanimate objects. He was afraid of physical animals and people that actually have movement and could come and attack him. And he also didn't know where he was going. In addition to the fright of maybe bumping into something or falling into a ditch or being attacked by a wild animal or being attacked by a thief, he also had no idea where he was going. Nizdamin lo avuka shel or, Baruch Hashem, he had a torch. He got himself a torch. Nitzel min hakotzim min habarkanim, or min hapachisim. He got himself a torch, and he was no longer afraid of the ditches and the thorns. He was no longer afraid. He could see where he was going, but having a torch does not save you from animals and robbers. In fact, maybe it makes you more vulnerable. He didn't know where he was supposed to go. Kivan sha'ala amra shachar, once the sun began to rise, nitzel min achaya ra'u min alistim. The robbers went back into their dens, their robbers' dens, and the lions and tigers went back into their animal dens. And he felt a little bit more secure in the fact that he was no longer subject to the attack of the animals or the robbers. But he still was so thick in the forest, he didn't know which direction he was really going. He gia le parshas drachim nitzel. But when he got to the parshas drachim, he was saved. When he finally found his way to the parshas drachim, he was saved. So I was always bothered by this medrash for a long time. Because parshas drachim, as we've mentioned a few times, means a fork in the road. Now, you could say just pashup shot in the medrash, which maybe is what I always satisfied myself with, is that Parshas Drachim means that it was a fork in the road that had a sign that said this way to, you know, New York, this way to Los Angeles, this way to Yerushalayim, this way to Tel Aviv. And that's one way of understanding it. But when we begin to think about the nimshel to this mashal, a person receives the torch in Ora LaTorah, and maybe the daylight coming is some sort of redemptive quality. Welcome to those who just joined us here in Eretz Yisrael, where it's always daytime, even if the sun is set. But the Parshas Drachim is something very, very deep. What's the Parshas Drachim? The Parshas Drachim is a fork in the road. How does the guy know which way he's supposed to go? So I was looking, and I saw a beautiful sefer from Rav Dov Berzan. Rav Dov Berzan, for those who are familiar with Rav Azaria Berzan, so that's his father. And he has a beautiful sefer called Dovev Meisharim. It was put out after he passed away by his son. And in source number 13, he writes on this medrash so beautifully. I didn't quote the entire piece, it's very lengthy. How the thorns and the ditches maybe are problems that we face internally as a community. You know, thorns are found even in our own gardens. You don't have to go too far outside of your own garden to find thorns. Chayos Ros and Listim maybe are external problems to our community that people from the outside are giving us trouble, influencing us in a negative way. But he says, coming to the Parshas Drachim is something which is even more. It's my own internal demons. There are so many times in our lives when we just don't know where we're supposed to go. We feel pulled in various different directions. Should I stay up a little bit longer? Maybe that means tomorrow I won't be able to pay attention in my classes. Should I go to sleep? Maybe that means that I'm cutting out early. Should I go take a little break and go with my friends to Mei Sharim? Or maybe I should really stay back and prepare for Shabbos. Maybe I'll be rushing into Shabbos. There are so many times when we're confused. We don't know how to make the right decisions. But there are certain times in our lives, and certainly in our year, in the cycle of our year, when we come to a Parshas Drachim where the signs are so clear, where it's laid out for us and it says, this direction will lead you to a life of bracha, and this direction will lead you to a total opposite life of klal. This life will lead you to a life of hachayim v'hatov, and this will lead you to a life of hamavis v'hara. And Rav Berzan writes, "Higia la parshas drachim nitzel mikulam yom kippurim haynu parshas drachim lekulanim." When a person comes to Rosh Hashanah, the Aser Yisrael Tshuva, and ultimately to Yom Kippur, into the time of Ne'ilah, We come to a Parshas Drachim, but it's not just any Parshas Drachim. It's a Parshas Drachim which is clearly labeled. Hu hashelet hamora lanu al derech ashobeshes umazir sanu mipaneha. It's a sign which shows us the crooked path and warns us from going on it. It's a sign that says, danger, if you go in this direction, you may slide down a hill and off of a cliff. Kihi movila lemavoi sasom shel mevuchas halev v'hamoach. Because if you go down this path, it will lead you down a path of total confusion, a path which confuses and blocks up the heart and the mind. Yom kadosh zeh meyitzbanu, and it gives us the strength. Ki neilich b'derech hamelech shel Torah, to go on the other path. Hamovila osanu yachid v'rabim, both individuals and as a tzibor, l'shalvas nefesh l'nachas ruach b'darkeinu. The Parshas Drachim are those paths that lead a person to the right and not to the left. To take the path which, although maybe is more difficult at first, ultimately leads us to the path of bracha, of chaim, of tov. And with this, we come back to the letter Ayin. If the Svarno taught us, if the Pasuk taught us, that Pesach Einayim means the crossroads, that Parshas Drachim where a person is bound to make a decision, forced to make a decision. So then how beautiful do the words of the Piyaz Etzner Rebbe ring in source number 14 in his Sefer Derech HaMelech. Smichas shale'enei kol Yisrael imbereishis. Ki ha-Torah notes sofo ha-batchila, batchilasa, it's a typo, I'm sorry, notes sofo batchilasa. Aval isa bepardes shar ha-osios perek yutes shenode b'yesod yesh shnei anafim yaminu smol. Let's take that slowly. Piyaz Etzner says that it's the custom of the tzaddikim, as we're getting close to the end of the Torah, it's very common for the tzaddikim to attempt to connect the end of the Torah, the last words of the Torah, back to the beginning of the Torah, which is the secret of what the Sefer Yetzirah refers to, earliest and oldest Kabbalistic Sefer refers to as the secret of Na'otz Sofo Batchilaso, which means the end is plugged back into the beginning. The end is connected back to the beginning. So that if you open up pretty much any Sefer that deals with the more deep dimensions of Torah, it will almost always begin or end with a Dvar Torah which links the end of the Torah, the last words of Le'enei Kol Yisrael, that Moshe Rabbeinu did these amazing things, Le'enei Kol Yisrael, to the first words of the Torah, either Bereishis or Bereishis Bara Elokim. And the Piyaz Etzner Rebbe is interested in also getting in on this great pastime of the Tzaddikim. So he quotes from the Sefer Pardes Rimonim, from the Rav Moshe Cordovero, the great Kabbalist in Tzfat, who writes that it's Yadua that this Sphira of Yesod, again, which is not important for now exactly what that is, has two parts, a right side and a left side. Mehayamin, from the right side, Yonik Tzad HaKadusha, the side of holiness draws its sustenance. Umiasmol Yonik Tzad HaTuma, and from the left side draws the source of unholiness draws its sustenance. Ratzalomar, or Rahman Latzan, excuse me. So now listen to this. Forget about that right now, exactly what that means, Yesod, and the right and left side, but he says like this. Vezeh nirmaz ba'os ayin. When we look at the letter ayin, we have to know, shehu b'yesod im shnei anafim yamin u'smol, that the letter ayin consists of these two branches, the right side of the ayin and the left side of the ayin. The right side of the ayin is leading towards the path of holiness, the side of kedusha, where kedusha is yonek from, kedusha nurses from that side. And the left side, which is the side of Tuma, is the left branch of the letter Ayin. V'kol avodas ish ha-yisraeli l'hagbir al-ha'anaf ha-rishon shel yamin, sherak ha-kedusha tekabel or eloki v'lo sitra achra. The whole goal of a Jew in this world is to strengthen the right side, so that when he comes to the right side, he'll be able to strengthen the side of Kedusha and be makabel a divine light and not chas v'shalom to give that divine light over to the other side, the sitra achra, the other side. U'kishachas v'shalom ha'chatoim govrim kimo at begolos, and when the left side, when the chatoim, when the sins of the Jewish people strengthen themselves in the exile, anaf habeiz shal osayin yone ka'ikr, va'al ha'amim shketim v'shalom b'kedusha yischas v'shalom hester shemekabel ma'ar. When in our golos, we fall into a slumber, we fall into a sleep, and we allow the left side to overcome the right side, then Kedusha goes into a state of hiding and is makabel very little from the divine light. And so the Piazetzner ends, after a small idea that we'll skip for now, but a beautiful idea, I encourage you to read it on your own, about the Torah of Rebbe Meir. Take a look inside. But he writes on the last line, V'zeh haremez asher asa Moshe le'enei kol Yisrael bereishis. He says, this is the secret of what it means that Moshe Rabbeinu did everything he did, le'enei kol Yisrael bereishis, in order to make the eyes of the Jewish people, the first one, reishis, the first one. So that when the ayin of the Jewish people, meaning the letter ayin of the Jewish people, when the Jewish people are choosing which path they want to go down, Moshe Rabbeinu made it easy for them to be able to choose bereishis, the first side, the right side of the ayin. Shereishis ha'ayin is gaber lo ha'achrona. That the first side of the ayin, the right side of the ayin, should be misgaber, not the left side. Ha'alef alo abeiz v'chol ha'or v'ha'shefa halcha rak l'kedusha v'kal lahavin. And with this now, I think we can understand our original question, as we're coming now to the end. And we asked, why is it that on Rosh Hashanah, when we're standing at the Parshas Drachim of our lives and we're deciding, do we want to put ourselves in the book of the Tzaddikim or the book of the Rishayim? How do I navigate the confusion of my life where sometimes I see myself doing all the right things, and then at the same time, I find myself doing things that I wish I could go back and erase? So we come to that remarkable day of tshuva called Rosh Hashanah, called the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, called Yom Kippur. And again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is knocking us over the head. And we're blowing the shofar over and over again. And of course, we are all struck by the fact that if you look at the shape of the letter Ayin, the right side, when if one were to imagine a shofar being held up to one's mouth, the shofar starts from here, very narrow at the bottom, and goes up to the top and kind of curves up like that, exactly like the right leg of the letter Ayin. So that when a person takes the shofar and holds it on the right side, not only are they fulfilling the pasuk of V'satan omer al yaminol sotno, not only are they fulfilling the pasuk in shoftim u'biyad yaminam ha-shofar sitko, but deeper than that, they're symbolically making a statement that I belong to the right branch of the letter Ayin. I belong to that shofar which wakes me up and says, it's time to make a decision in my life. It's time to see that I'm standing at this crossroads. And therefore, because I'm standing at this crossroads, I'd better make a vital decision if I want to bring Mashiach into my personal life, like Tamar. If I want to make a decision which is going to bring about ultimately the entire redemption of the world, but first and foremost my own personal redemption, then I must look to the letter of the right branch of the letter Ayin. So that the Baal Tokea standing on the Vima while we look and watch the Baal Tokea blow the shofar is not only blowing the shofar, but on a deeper level, for those who understand, can it be that perhaps the Baal Tokea is alluding to us, choose the right side? Re'ein asati lefnechem hayom. The Zohar says hayom is always a reference to Rosh Hashanah. Hayom haras olam. Hayom, Hashem gives us the choice. On Rosh Hashanah, Hashem says, choose to be in the book of the Tzaddikim. Look to the right branch of the Ayin. And with this, I think we can understand as well a fascinating and difficult Rambam. The Rambam in source number 12 tells us that even though the Tekiyas Shofar of Rosh Hashanah is Gzeres HaKasuv, of course, if somebody were to ask you, you're sitting on a plane and somebody asks you, why do you blow shofar? What's this whole ram's horn thing? So the simple answer, says the Rambam, is, I feel like that always happens on an airplane. You're like sitting next to somebody and they start asking you questions about, I mean, I guess it happens more if you wear yarmulke and tzitzis, right? You know, like, they're like, what is that? So, but I guess maybe wearing a sheitel and a ketel. So someone's sitting here and says, I heard about this, this shofar, this horn that you guys, what is that? So first and foremost, the Rambam says, you explain it to them, it's Gezeiras HaKosov. Hashem said so. I don't have to understand it. It says, God wants me to do this. If God wants me to do jumping jacks, I'll do jumping jacks. He wants me to blow a ram's horn, I'll blow a ram's horn. But the Rambam says, even though that's true, remez yeshbo. There's something else in the shofar. There's a hint in the shofar. This is not the way the Rambam normally speaks. I'm not suggesting that the Rambam also thought this thing with the letter ayin in the right. I'm not suggesting that. But maybe. But the Rambam says, remez yeshbo. Kilomar, what does the Rambam say the remez of the shofar is? The shofar is an alarm clock. It's a horn which says, ur yishen mishenascha, wake up from your sleep. Those who are slumbering, those who are dreaming, wake up from your daydream. Look into your action. Come back in tshuva. Remember your Creator. Those of you who have lost yourselves in the hevel hazman, in those things which distract us uniquely in our generation. Vishogim kol shnasam behevel harik, and we've lost ourselves and all of our years to this emptiness, to chasing empty goals. Lo yolva lo yatzil, which don't help us and cannot save us. Hibitu l'nashosechem, look inwardly to your souls. Vahavitam bedarcheichem ma'alechem. V'yazov kol echem mikem darko hara u'machshav to asher lo tova. Remove from yourselves all these petty ways of thinking, all of these base ways of thinking. Extricate yourself from the world of Ra that you've planted yourself in. And then the Rambam says a difficult word. One word. He says, Lefikach, therefore. And you're reading this Rambam and you're wondering to yourself, what's the therefore? Because what he's about to say is a non sequitur. It has really nothing to do with the first part. Really, we blow shofar because it's Gezeiras HaKosov. But there's a remez that we're supposed to wake up from our sleep. Therefore, therefore, a person should always see himself as if he's half guilty and half innocent, half pure and half worthy of punishment. And he has to know, and she has to know, that if he does one mitzvah or she does one mitzvah, he will tilt or she will tilt the entire world in that direction, and will tilt their entire personal world in that direction. And the Rambam basically says, and therefore every person has to see themselves as standing at the Parshas Drachim. And that's what the Rambam is saying. Every person has to see themselves as sitting at that place where it's completely even. There are two paths in front of me. I'm Chatzi Zakai, Chatzi Chayev. And I have to choose to put myself in the book of the Tzaddikim or the book of the Rishon. And what's the Lefikach? Again, the Rambam says there's a Gezeiras HaKosov to blow shofar, but there's also a hint that it's supposed to wake us up from the heavenly Azman, and therefore we should see ourselves as always standing at the Parshas Drachim. A little bit, what I'm tempted to say is that the Rambam is saying is that the shofar is telling us, wake up from your slumber and choose the right side. Now the Rambam is clearly not linking the right side of the shofar to the right side of the ayin. I wouldn't go that far as to say that. But the Rambam is saying that the shofar acts as the shelet that Rav Berzon was saying, as that sign that says, be careful, you have to be crazy to go down that left path. If you go down the left path, you are promised a life of klala, of disappointment, of very bitter disappointment. What Rabbi Nachman describes, as we've mentioned before, is the person who's running after the kid in the schoolyard and he wastes his whole recess chasing after this kid because he thinks he has something in his hand, and at the end of the recess, all the kids finally gather around him, he stops running and he opens up his hand and it's empty. And there's a sign that says, I promise you if you go down this left path, you'll be left with disappointment. And even though sometimes you catch yourself a little bit traveling down the left path and then you try to pull back and you go back to the right side and you're trying to even yourself out and you're confused, but when you come to Rosh Hashanah, you come to Yom Kippur, when you stand at the Parshas Drachim and the shofar blasts, a person who sees himself at the midway point of being Chatzi Chayev, Chatzi Zakai, must choose the proper side, must choose the right side. And therefore, the shofar, which is that vehicle that says, choose bracha, chayim, choose a life of meaning, also is best suited It's tov if a person is tokeya mitzad yamim im efshar l'tkoa b'kach, like the Shulchan Aruch said. And of course, this is the deeper meaning of what it means when it says in Koheles, leiv chacham leimino, leiv ksil l'smolo, the wise one goes to the right side and the fool goes to the left side, the right side of the aleph. This is, of course, the deeper understanding of what it means in Masechah Shabbos and Daf Pechesam and Beis when Rava teaches us, L'maiminin, to those who go to the right side, the Torah is a sama dechaya, it's an elixir of life, it's a medicine which gives a person life. U'lamasmilam, and to those who go to the left side, it's the sama demavis, it's choosing a life of death. So, we'll end with one last teaching to take us into the Yom Noraim. I think we still have Mirtz Hashem one more shir before Rosh Hashanah. But in order to take us into the Yom Noraim, let's remind ourselves of one more teaching, that the letter Ayin, again, is pointing two paths, one to the right and one to the left. And so in the interest of time, I'll share it with you outside. But there's a very, very deep teaching from the Yismach Moshe of Satmar. The Yismach Moshe of Satmar in Parshas Lech Lecha teaches, based on a passage in the Zohar, where the Zohar writes, "Da Avram da nishmasa kadisha, lot da yetzer hara." It's on the second line if you want to see that inside. That the Zohar teaches that whenever Avraham and Lot are having a conversation in the Torah, you should know that on a deeper level, of course, it's a historical conversation between two human beings who lived. But it's also a conversation between the Yetzer Hara and the Neshama. Avram, representative of the Neshama, and Lot, representative of the Yetzer Hara. So listen to this Yismach Moshe. He says, let's try out this principle and plug it into a conversation between Lot and Avram. Avram and Lot are not having so much hatzlacha getting along, because Lot has a certain way of doing things. So Avram Avinu says to Lot, listen, Vayomer Avram Alot, he parid na me'alai, do me a favor, let's separate from each other. It's for our own best interest. Im hasma'ol v'amina. If you go to the left, I will go to the right. V'im hayamin v'asma'ilin. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. So says the Satmar Rebbe, you know what this means? The Satmar Rebbe says, sometimes the Yetzer Hara comes to you and says, to the right. What does that mean, to the right? So he says, sometimes the Yetzer Hara comes and tries to use the right side in a negative way. Right always means chesed. So sometimes the Yetzer Hara comes to you and says, listen, Hashem's a baal rachamim, Hashem's a baal chesed. You don't have to get so worked up about serving him. So if you mess up, don't worry. I know Hashem's very easygoing. He'll let you off the hook. To the right side. Lot says, the Yetzer Hara says, I'm going to the right. Follow me to the right, it's a path of chesed, everything's good. At that moment, Avraham Avinu has to turn to Lot and say, to the left side. No, yesh din v'yesh dayan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a vatran, Hashem doesn't allow us to get away with anything, and every single act that I do, every machshava, dibur, or maisa, is accounted for in din v'cheshvan. But that's not so much our problem, that's not so much our shir, because we want to go to the right. Our problem, which is probably a more unique problem to our generation of all the generations that ever lived, is the flip side of the equation that the Satmar Rebbe says. What happens all too often to us is that the Yetzer Hara comes to us and says, you know, I hate to tell you this, but you should go to the left. I'm going to the left. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a very strict judge. And you should know that, remember that Lashon Hara that you spoke, that food that you ate without a bracha, that Avera that you did when nobody was looking? Hashem is a very strict, the left side means din. Hashem is very, very strict. You already went down the left path of the ayin, the left channel of the ayin, one too many times in your life. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu exacts judgment on you. And every single time you try to open your mouth to say a Shema or to say a bracha, Hashem says, ugh. That person who spoke that way, Hashem's not interested in you, says the Yetzer Hara. And so when the Yetzer Hara says, you've already been down the channel of the left side too many times, the left side of the ayin has already called your name one too many times, so So then Avram Avinu, the neshama, has to say, Afal Pikei and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zerachman, the right side is always open. The right channel of the ayin, which is the side of bracha and tov, the sifron shel tzadikim, is constantly open to me. So that when Lot says, V'asma'ila, I'm going to the left, it's too late for you. Avram Avinu and the tzaddik and the neshama says, Ein yeyosh ba'olam klal, I'm not ever giving up. And the right side is always open to me. Re'ei anochi nosein lefneichem hayom, I'm giving it to you this day, every day. Nosein is a lashon of in the present. Not natan, not I gave it to you in the past. But nosein, every single day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us an opportunity to return to Him. So I'll end with the story. A number of years ago, when I was still, this is now going back quite a number of years ago, when I was still in Yeshiva University, one year on Yom HaShoah, they had a guest speaker who came, an elderly lady, I don't recall her name. I didn't even go to hear her speak because it was in the middle of one of my classes. But a friend of mine went and told me what she said. And whenever I learn this teaching of the Yismach Moshe, I'm always brought back to this story. She said that the way that she survived the Holocaust was as follows. Rachmana Litzlan, she went on a very long, tiring, and degrading journey in the cattle cars and came to a concentration camp, a death camp. And as she was getting off of the train, one of the Jews who was given the task, the unbearable task of trying to get the Jews off the trains and in line, said to her, you should know what this place is. And I can't explain now, I don't have time. But know that when you get up to the front of the line, you should lie about your age and try, I know you haven't eaten in a few days and it's a very long journey and you're very tired, but try to liven yourself up, pinch your cheeks a little, make your cheeks a little bit more red and stand on your tippy toes. Make yourself look as alive as possible. And she said, okay, and she didn't know what was going on, but she had heard rumors already, rumors had already begun to seep back. And she was standing in line, and as she was getting closer and closer, the dread just overcame her, and slowly her cheeks went from red to completely pale, and she kind of went from being on her tippy toes to slumped over, and by the time she got up to the front, she looked more dead than alive already. And the Rasha who was standing there, Yimach Shemo, took one look at her and said, to the left. And she said she doesn't know exactly what happened and what overcame her, but when the Rasha looked back down at his piece of paper to mark down and to go to the next person, she just quickly went to the right. And she said at that moment that she ignored the directive of that Nazi officer, Yimach Shemo, to go to the left, where he said, it's the end for you. As if somehow the Nazis tapped into this notion that the left side means death and the right side of the ayin means life. That Re'ena Sati Lefnecha Mayom Bracha Uklala, she understood that even when the Yetzirah says to the left, even when Lot says, Vasma'ila, I'm going to the left and it's the end of the line and you should just give up already because you've already gone down the left path so many times. And Hashem is not interested in your tshuva and Hashem is not interested in your mitzvos. Afal Pikin, when the Yetzirah stops looking for a second, when he gets confused as we're blowing the shofar and he starts to shake up and he loses sight of you for a moment, at that moment a person standing at the Parshas Drachim, you just run to the right. No matter what else is going on in your life, no matter how many times you've gone down the left path, when you're standing at that moment at the Parshas Drachim by Ne'ilah and they're blowing that final shofar blast and the satan gets confused, you sneak right past the gate and you run to the right side. Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us as we're preparing for the Yom Noraim, as we're preparing for the awesome day of Rosh Hashanah, which the Baal Shem Tov explained, is a day of complete celebration. Of course, there's a certain fear of the Yom HaDin. But when we understand that the Yom HaDin comes from a place of the fact that Hashem cares so deeply about us, and therefore He is interested in our every move. If Hashem didn't care about us, there would be no Yom HaDin. The only reason there's a Yom HaDin is because Hashem is interested in us. So the Baal Shem Tov explained that Rosh Hashanah is a time of tremendous, tremendous joy. And in trying to prepare for this day of tremendous joy, we look to the letter Ayin to remind ourselves that at this moment in time, Zayom Asa Hashem, this is the day that Hashem created. Nagila v'nismachavo, it's a time of celebration, it's a time of rejoicing that we get to be ma'amilch Hashem, that Hashem chooses us to be ma'amilchim. Hashem should help us and give us the resolve that we should have the wherewithal that even when there's that voice in the back of our mind which is whispering to us, it's too late for you, you've gone down the left path, we should be zocha at the moment when we're hearing the shofar blast, that when the Nazi guard is looking down, when we're being sent to the left side, we should have the wherewithal and the fortitude to run to the right side. And that merit will be zocha to the Tekiyah Gedola that we're waiting for, Tekiyah B'Shofar Gedola, Chayr Yisrael, with the coming of Mashiach. Amen.